Hey folks, it is Tuesday night, December 6, 2016. You're listening to episode 49 of AIH Superfans Podcast. I am one of your superfan pals. My name is Alan. On Twitter, you can find me at Slip with Five Eyes or Slip.
Yo, it's Riddell, Big Poppy Peg City.
Hey, it's Brian, at Brian from AIH.
And we have a special guest for his first time with us nerds on this podcast. Who's out there? Who's the unfortunate person tonight?
This unfortunate person is John. You can find me on Twitter at jmall95. You've probably got me either muted or blocked by now, so I've found another way to infiltrate you online. That's
good. Nicely done. Nicely done. By the way, just for everybody to know in advance, all the little background noises that you're going to hear, that's all Pappy. It's definitely.
I'm trying a new method today.
It's definitely you. Every mixture that we have on the show, there's one consonant. It ain't me.
No, I'm on a computer today.
I feel like when you're listening to us, you're rolling around in bed, as people should be when they listen to the superfans.
No,
I know, I do.
Agreed.
I've got one hand in a bowl of cheeses, and I got the other hand half in my pants. Like, what else am I supposed to be doing?
All right, that's great. So in an hour, your junk's going to be orange.
Well, yeah. Isn't that how it's supposed to be? No, no, no.
All right. Anyways. Well, speaking of junk, let's talk about the game from tonight, which wasn't all junk, but certainly had its moments. So, as a quick recap, Jets lose 4-3 in a shootout to the Red Wings. They went up 3-1 in the first period off goals by Kopp, Bufflin, and Liney. Liney with his 17th. And then Detroit tied it in the second period. And then in the third period, pretty much took over for most of the period. Had most of the offense. Didn't manage to score. Pretty exciting overtime. And then a shootout where they went to a fourth shooter on each side. And with the game on the line.
Oh boy.
Paul Maurice looks down that bench and he can't go with Little. He can't go with Wheeler and he can't go with Liney because he's used them. So he, of course, picks Nick Ehlers, right? Hello?
No. So, no, he didn't.
All right. Who wants to talk about it? I can just sit back and let the hate flow.
So maybe they had something scouted. They went with four right-handed shooters, right? So obviously they do advanced scouting, and you know, obviously they went with right-handed shooters. But to pick Drew Stafford, who you know arguably had probably the worst game he's had in a very long time today, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
The turnover on that first goal is just atrocious.
Oh, that's crazy. It's
typical of him, though, right? Like,
all right. So that's it.
Nothing else to say. He's just kind of like you know, a square peg in a round hole in this team at this point. I don't really see where he fits. It's just you know, it's just cringeworthy watching him at this point in his career.
It's not only that though, but that the whole his deployment and his usage is just, it baffles me. He's in the top six with Wheeler and
top power play unit,
yeah, for sure, over Liney. Like I get that they've got the left handed guys with Liney on the second unit, and they get them on like usually 40 seconds into the power play, but it makes no sense to me. Like why has Drew Stafford been anointed? Are they, you know, you could say maybe that they're trying to increase his trade value, but when you're hurting the team as much as you are with having him out there and having him so up front and center, like so prominent in your lineup, is, I don't know, whatever.
What's the problem too, right? Like an increased role just showcases how not good he is at the same time. So it's just a bad situation having him out there altogether.
So, is it that he's a veteran? Is that what it is? Like there's a belief that he is more responsible, that he's more dependable. Like what's the explanation for why this guy is so prominent in this lineup?
What's the explanation for Chris Thorburn still being in the lineup? Same shit, right? It's the same shit. It's whatever stupid loyalty Paul Maurice has to veterans that, that would dictate that the kid that scored the most power play goals on your team gets relegated to the second unit. Like, I don't know where.
Remember his reasoning for that? It was like something like he only gets his goals when it's 5-on-3. It's never when it's 5-on-4.
Yeah, when we have a 2-man advantage. Yeah, sure. Okay, whatever.
Well, okay, so. No. So I'm going to ask a question, and I'll play devil's advocate here. We say that Paul Maurice, is too loyal to these veterans, but Andre Pavlik is with the Moose. Mark Stewart has been in the press box quite a bit so far this season. So aren't we a good proportion of the way there?
Well, and to be fair, too, like Chris Thorburn was, it looked like that first game he was going to start the year in the press box, or he literally started the year in the press box, but some injuries along the way have cemented him back in. It does look like they are definitely taking strides in that right direction, though, that they are going to start benching some of these veterans or not giving them spots that they don't deserve.
So it's not perfect, but is it really as bad as people make it out to be on Twitter.com?
You're such a troll, Alan.
Just wondering.
You're such a troll. You know what? You know, I guess this year has been better. But we're at 500. There are flashes of brilliance. And you know what? Today, even Gary Lawless said it at the end of the game or on TSN, on SportsCenter after that. It was all on the veterans today. Like, it wasn't the young guys that screwed up today. It was the vets. And, this game should have been won. Like, there's no need to go into overtime, really. Like, I mean, even that second period, as bad as the score was, I don't think they were outplayed that badly, right? Well, you know, the start of the third period was bad. They were outshot, 7-0 before they got a shot on net.
Yeah.
It was pretty tilted in the third period, but they withstood that. But I don't know.
Ehlers looked like he was due a goal tonight, hey?
Man, yeah.
I think it's ever since I got his jersey, he just hasn't scored.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't see the Liney goal I started watching in the second period, but I saw his shootout goal.
That's his move, eh? He just keeps doing that, and it keeps working. I guess he's only done it twice, but...
So, is Patrick Liney the best goal scorer to come into the league since Alex Ovechkin? Can we say that already?
Yes.
Yep.
Like, yes. It's pretty ridiculous. Like, he scores with wrist shots. He scores with the one timer. He scores on breakaways. Like,
but I mean, even today though, you could see him kind of flexing his muscle quite a bit, like hanging onto the puck and trying to create on his own too. There's that one sequence in was it the third period where he took the puck and came up the right side and circled back over to the left side and created a shot to that pass that he sauced over to Byfuglien for his goal. I mean, the kid's showing everything. Like, he's showing everything. He's only gaining more and more confidence, right? So, I don't know. We haven't seen nearly everything that he's got. Like, you could see him gaining more confidence as the year goes on. And today he was trying to impose some will out there too, so.
How many games have the Jets played so far? They played 29 games? 29 games, and he has 17 goals, right?
Yeah, he scored them in bunches, but lately he's got, 5-6 or 5-4? How many goals does he have?
He's been scoring more often than not, right?
Yeah.
Lately, I'm just doing some quick math here. So he's on pace for 48 right now, over an 82-game season.
He's got to get that up because he's got to tie Solani, right?
Yeah. I'm sure that's going to happen. So anything else on tonight's game? It wasn't a loss. You got the point. You are now, 3 games in a row where you have collected points, like 5 out of 6?
Yeah, and someone should tell the ones who defend Chris Russell to no end because of Edmonton's record with him in the lineup that the Jets have points in every game that Mark Scheifele's missed. So you see what the That was clearly the problem.
Of course. So the Jets right now, they are back to fake 500. They have 13 wins, 13 losses, 3 overtime losses. So really 13 and 16. But that is good enough for 29 points. Still more games played than everybody in the conference except for the Flames. But they are sitting third in the Central as of right now. And just looking at it, I mean, Minnesota is going to pass them. Like if we were even in games, Minnesota's played 5 fewer games. Nashville has played 4 fewer games. Dallas has played 2 fewer games. So probably not really ahead of Nashville and Minnesota. So you're probably sitting at 5th in the Central right now. But you know, there's quite a bit of parity in the NHL as of this point in time, right? There's in the Western Conference, you've got Chicago kind of pulling ahead of some of those middling teams. But after Chicago and St. Louis, you've got Edmonton at 32 points, and they're third. And Dallas is at 26 points and 11th. So kind of a logjam, 6 points separating those teams. So at this point in time, we're December 6th. We're still happy with where we stand?
I think you gotta be happy with where the Jets are compared to where we thought they'd be, right?
Yeah, that a lot better off than I thought.
Yeah, we've got a clear number one goalie now, kind of. I mean,
about league average, yeah, which is better than what we've had before. So, yeah, and all things considered, too, a lot of injuries. There's little being out for that long. Perot being out for as long as he was. Trouba being gone for as long as he was. So, all things considered, I'd say yeah, I'm pretty satisfied.
Yeah.
All right, then. So everything is rosy today in Jets land.
in Chevy we trust.
Hashtag Chevy knows.
All right. So we've got the Rangers coming up on Thursday. I don't know what happens over the course of the weekend because I haven't looked that far ahead, but we'll keep you posted on that. In other Jets news, big signing today.
Yes, literally big. Gigantic.
So,
6'8".
Good skater.
Yay. Is that what he is? Responsible. That's what I've seen.
Oh. You know what I saw on Twitter today? Best defenseman in the OHL.
Oh, God.
That had to be fake. The best on his team, but you know.
Who said that?
Are you sure that was Twitter or Facebook, guys?
That sounds like a Facebook comment.
It was Marco, so it's pretty much Facebook.
All right, so just pulling up if I can find an article. Here we go. So the Jets sign 2006 first round pick Logan Stanley, defenseman, left-handed defenseman from the Windsor Spitfires, to a 3-year entry-level contract worth an average value annually of $1.1375 million.
Hey, somebody answer me and tell me why they had to sign him today. What's the point of signing him today?
We can't answer that.
Like what? Why the haste in signing Logan Stanley? Like, we have his rights. Like, you have
you the.
Sorry, buddy, you didn't get invited to Team Canada camp. We're going to give you a contract to keep your spirits up. Is that it? Or
well, we don't. So they don't.
I know. You know those defensemen that got drafted after you in the first round. I know they got invited to camp. So you know, we're going to throw you this nugget so you don't get discouraged.
So we're looking at I mean, they're not going to burn a year, obviously. Like this can kick in next year. He's going to stay with the Spitfires this year, presumably. I'm just reading some Twitter commentary here. Congratulations to Big Stan in inking entry level contract. That's from the Windsor Spitfires. Harrison Lee. Stanley's contract makes me wonder if the Jets are thinking about moving Myers and using Logan as a stand in.
Literally.
Yeah.
He does fill his skates a bit, right? Yeah. No.
Logan Stanley, a 6'7", 231-pound D-man, has 2 goals and 9 points in 20 games with the Windsor Spitfires of the OHL this season. I don't know. I mean, I guess you just, they're going to sign him at some point, right? Like, he's a first round pick, so you just get the signing out of the way. So now it's done. You don't have to worry about it for 3 years after this one, right?
I don't know. Considering who his agent is, I think he may be Ben Chevy.
Is it Walsh?
Yeah, it's Walsh.
Good times.
All right. Well, Logan Stanley locked up. So
a future number one left-handed defenseman.
Yeah. So good for us. yeah. Big day there.
Yeah, I'm no OHL expert. I won't pretend I am, but I see a lot of OHL experts saying things like, you know, his stick handling still needs improvement. He makes the same coverage mistakes he made last year. So nothing has really changed on that long-term development curve end, right? Like, he's still a ways away. He hasn't taken any drastic strides.
He's 3 to 4 years away of being, top end, like his ceiling's a third pairing defenseman.
Mark Stewart.
Yeah, yes. Tall Mark Stewart.
Yeah.
Or just Cody Sull revisited.
I am not a scout, obviously, by any means. I've seen him play 3 games though so far this season in the O in person, and he's responsible. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't make any glaring mistakes, or at least he didn't when I saw him. He doesn't have a lot of offense to his game. He kind of just puts in the time and doesn't screw up, and I think he's fine. I don't think I hate the pick. I don't think fine is what you want with a pick that you've traded up for, but so far he looks okay. That's all I can really say.
Perfect.
Let's talk about a couple of Jets prospects who are actually going to World Junior camps at the very least, and probably will make teams. The U.S. has Roslovic and Foley, and Spacek is with who? What is that? Czechs?
The Czech.
Yes.
Yeah. So I guess Roslovic is going to be headed over from the Moose. To Team USA. Is that what we're looking at? We think he's gonna, well, I mean, who knows? I don't know the composition of the rest of the team, but should have a good shot at making the team, right?
Absolutely, he'll make that team.
No, for sure.
Yeah, I see no way he doesn't make that team.
Well, he's on pace for, I think I was doing the math earlier this morning, it's like 62 points in a, they have a 76 game schedule in the A, and at the most by a 19-year-old, which is how old he is, was Patrick Elias, and that was 63 points. So, I mean, if he keeps it up, you're looking at a pretty, good year for a 19-year-old down there. And the turnout rate for the guys that put up the points he is, Patrice Bergeron, Nylander, Prosper. I'm just looking at the list of the guys who have put up the amount of points he is at age 19. Like, the turnout rate is just incredibly high. So, I think we got a good one there.
And then Eric Foley is right now with Providence College, right? And he was a third-round draft pick in 2015 in 14 games so far this season. This is according to an article that I'm reading off of Legal Curve. He has 6 goals and 8 assists for 14 points in 14 games, which in U.S. college is a pretty good pace. A point a game is pretty good. It's not Kyle Connor pace, but what's Kyle Connor doing? We can get into that if you want. Kyle Connor may as well go to the U.S. camp right now, too, really.
You're eating a lot of popcorn. That's what he's doing right now.
Yeah. So Foley headed to the U.S. team and Spacek. We checked on him last week with the Red Deer Rebels. And I'm just putting in his details here.
He's still top 10 in the dub in scoring. Last I checked, anyway.
Is he? Bear with me for a sec. Maybe he's probably the best because he's a Jet, so I would say that he's the best, actually, in the whole league. He is...
Oh, Chevy.
He's not even top... He's top... He's fourth highest scorer on his team.
Oh.
He is 13 points in 17 games. Is that right? This is the Red Deer Rebel site. Have they only played 17 games in the dub? That doesn't feel right.
No.
It's not right. Where's Phil when you need him?
Yeah, fucking Phil.
Phil always has the right stats. Like,
I'm looking here. I've got he's played 27 and has 38.
There we go.
For any seventh in the league in scoring.
Here we go. And I've got the...
I don't know if that was last year's or something like that.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I see. Yeah, you are right. So 38 points in 27 games. That's a lot better. And yes, for seventh in league scoring. So good for him. I mean, at least we're going to have, you know, we'll have a few people to look for from the Jets and the World Juniors. So that is also good news. I wanted to ask you guys about something interesting. We actually didn't talk about this when we were prepping for the show, our 1 minute of prep where we kind of should put a little list together. But during the second intermission when Gary Lawless was talking, he mentioned that they are considering going with a wild card spot in the NHL playoffs. Did any of you guys catch this?
I mute him.
So basically what they're saying is that they're going to go with 9 teams per conference who qualify, with teams 8 and 9 playing a one game winner take all to get into the show. Do we need this?
Ah, it seems pretty random. I'm going to say no.
This is
done right for TV because you're going to get some excited. I mean, you'll get one sellout out of that, but you also get, you know, 2 nights of television that you can sell ads for, right? That seems to be really the only thing that the league gets out of it. I just, you know, I think someone had replied to me. It might have been Anthony Bones who said, it should be a hell of a game. And I thought, well, you're talking like, are we really clamoring to see the 8th and 9th best teams per conference battle it out? Like in baseball, what is it? Teams 4 and 5?
Yes.
Per, on each side. So, I mean, you're still talking about the upper half of the league, even in football, even in football, those wild card games, you're talking about the upper half of the league, almost the upper third. So we're going to go in hockey and we're going to put the lower half of the league and 2 teams playing off in one game.
Perfect.
I don't know.
More hockey.
It's the Jets' chance at being perennial contenders, right? Perennial
playoff teams. It's like we're chasing that 9th spot. Then we'll get in and all the people, oh, see, go Chevy.
When were they talking about this, though?
It was like, during the second intermission. It was Lawless. It's, no, who's doing
where's it? Where's this coming from? Yeah.
It's, I don't know if it's GM meetings or what it is. I'll put in NHL wildcard playoffs and see if I can get a story on it. The other thing they were talking about was just the standard rule changes or possible rule changes to increase scoring, which again is whatever. Like,
and then John, weren't you saying that he was talking about Trouba being a third pairing defenseman?
Yeah, he said he was talking with them, and what Trouba, it was like a one-on-one, just Gary and Trouba, and what Trouba was saying is, I don't really look to jump in on the offensive side of things too much. I kind of just like to play a nice defensively sound game, and Lawless countered that with, well, that, in his mind, is that's not really a number one defenseman in today's NHL, that's more of a number two, and then he went on to even say that you could even say that Jacob Trouba is more of a 3 right now. That's on my drive to work. That's what I heard. So
yeah.
I don't know how in what universe Jacob Trouba is a 3 or a third pairing defenseman, but.
So he's defensively responsible. He can get the puck out of the zone. That's whatever. Fuck. Gary Lawless is a tool.
I just pulled up. There's an article from NBC Sports that I'm reading here, written by Cam Tucker, that that talks about wild card play. I'm not saying where it's going to come up next, but apparently Bob McKenzie at some point polled the 30 GMs, and over half said that they were for it.
Of course they are, because it's more revenue. This is when the playoffs are when owners make their money, right? If they make the playoffs, this is all extra revenue, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So extra revenue. That's an extra layer of Teflon on his vest. Ninth seed.
It is, because then when they finish 10th, they'll be like, well, we were almost there, though, right?
One spot out of a playoff spot, yeah.
We only missed it by 6 points, but we were 10th.
Where are the haters now?
Yeah, so that was the fun from Gary Lawless tonight. Let's see here. We've got CBA stuff happening in the NHL. There was a little bit of a flurry, I thought, on Twitter about this for one night, and then it's gone silent, I guess, because what are you going to do except wait a few years for this to kick in? But the deal that the NHL proposed of allowing players to go to the Olympics in exchange for extending the length of the CBA past kind of that first optional end date was, it sounds like, resoundingly rejected, thoroughly rejected, massively rejected by the players' union, right? And
well, they literally got hooped the last CBA, right? Like the players did. They didn't get any, like the owners pretty much won that last round of bargaining.
I don't know about that. I mean, they got crushed in the one where we lost the season. The players got totally crushed. I don't think that they came out all that badly in the last one compared to the one before. I mean the league what was it? You know, it was some total like between 50 and 55% that they agreed upon for the players in revenue when they came out of the year long stoppage, which amounted to only about $40 million in salary cap. That's gone up to 70, right? So, the league's made money, it has passed on to the players. So I don't know though what great victories the players got out of the last lockout. Like it seems, you know, I'd have to look at it again, but I think a lot of status quo, right?
Yeah.
So they rejected the proposal. They're likely going to drop the CBA and renegotiate the first moment that they can. Every player who's signing a free agent contract at the moment, those are all basically paying up front, right? They're all heavily bonused on the kind of signing bonus or start a season bonus, and with small amounts of salary over the course of the season, the idea being that players will get a big check right before a potential stoppage could happen. So is it inevitable that this league is going to stop playing again in 5 or 6 years? For the third time in, I guess, not even 15 years. Yes, Ryan?
Yes, absolutely. I see no way it doesn't happen again.
Has anyone got a sense? I haven't gotten a sense for what the players are searching for this time around. Is it just a bigger piece of the pot?
I don't know. I don't even know.
I just get that vibe.
They hate escrow. I know that.
I mean, if you're the players, what do you want? You want more money. You want more control over your destiny. So, you know, anything to lower free agency age or lessen the amount of compensation for UFAs, like those kinds of things are probably, pieces that they're looking for. But ultimately, I think, you know, a lot of it comes down to money, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We don't have to talk about CBA in a great amount of detail right now. You don't want it. We're still a few years away. I just think it's funny again because people are going to sweat over some
There's going to be a lockout or a strike. For sure there will be.
People are going to sweat over some other bullshit between now and then. Like, for example, those Adidas jerseys. Oh, if they have ads, it's going to be terrible for hockey. Why don't we worry about the part where they fucking stop playing? Again. You know, I just, I always find that people don't look at kind of the major things that are looming out there. You know, who cares if they wear ads all over their jerseys other than the fact that they're ugly? And me and Brian will have to buy them still, right?
Yep. Yeah. I just don't want to buy these Fanatics jerseys.
Oh yeah, those are going to be, those are going to be cheap. Not cheap to buy. They're going to look really cheap, right?
They're going to be some Walmart jerseys.
Yeah, it's great.
With ads on them, right?
Oh yeah, definitely with ads.
Like a Chico's Bail Bonds on the back, right? That would be cool.
Any other things that you, any folks out there want to mention? Do we want to talk about Kyle Connor? What's happening with Kyle Connor? Why isn't he playing any hockey?
Absolutely nothing is happening with Kyle
Connor. Because Chris Thorburn is way better than him. He's way more responsible, and you know what? The Jets are better with him in the press box because he's learning lots being in the press box.
But it's not even Kyle Connor doesn't fight.
Yeah,
he can't protect the team, so he has to sit in the press box.
Was Thorburn dressed when Connor got rammed into the boards there head first? Did Thorburn answer to that? Oh, he did answer to that. That's right. He fought.
That was Kyle Connor's line mate that night, I believe.
Oh, boy.
Well, Kyle Connor, though, like, of course he's going to get nailed like that because he can't take care of himself out there, right? That's why Thorburn gets to play.
You know what? I can't remember where I was. I was out in, I don't know where it was, but started talking about the Jets. It was when they were playing Edmonton. And I started complaining about Chris Thorburn. And there were four or five guys defending him. Like, literally defending him. Like, we need that kind of guy out there. Who's going to fight? Who's going to fight?
He's a glue guy, too. Watch the bench.
He's good. He's great. He's great in the locker room. Like,
he's allowed in the locker room if he's sitting in the press box during the game, right?
Absolutely.
Like, he's not banned from the locker room. He can still make his mixtapes.
He was quite upset that he was scratched when he was scratched, though. Hey?
Well, I would expect that. Like, you want to play if you're a professional, but if you're not the best player, you shouldn't be playing. I mean, every game that I've seen him in recently, he gets into a fight in the first period. He puts in under 10 minutes in the game. He did score a shorthanded goal, right?
I don't think he saw the ice. I don't think he saw the ice this third period, right? Did you guys see him on the ice in the third period?
I didn't even think he was playing.
I didn't see Tanev either, really.
Yeah, that fourth line never gets any minutes. Remember Connor? No. I was always looking for Connor when he was on the fourth line and just nothing.
Like, for the life of me, like, I mean, if you've got Adam Lowry on the fourth line with Tanev, and plug anybody in instead of Thorburn. Like, I mean, and you've got everybody healthy in the top nine. Like, I can't see the fourth line not getting 9-10 minutes a night. But how is the fourth line going to ice anyway? Like, how many goals were against the both goals in the second period? The fourth line was out there, right?
Oh, I don't remember.
I don't know, the one for sure, the fourth line was out there, the one where Bermy and...
Yeah, they probably were.
Bermy and Thorburn were like kind of like holding each other's hands.
They were doing the mannequin challenge.
Yeah.
I would imagine that would be the case because Chris Thorburn played 6 minutes and 52 seconds and still managed to be a minus 2. So, yes, he would have been out there for 2 goals against.
Yeah, those two in the second period were atrocious, man.
Yeah, right? Brandon Tanev with 7 minutes and 51 seconds at ice time. Bermistrov, who got hurt, 4 minutes and 57 seconds. Interesting, and Arby pointed this out, and I'm glad that he did. Interesting that, you know, a real fan is allowed to cheer when one of the players on your team is hurt. You know, don't call out management, but when a player on your team is injured, have a celebration. That's what real fans do.
I think I saw the tweet that he's referring to.
I totally missed that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that third. Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
I figured they'd be above that, but I don't even know who it is. But
part of it might have been the Bermistrov injury, right? That you don't.
It was the Bermy injury. Yeah, somebody was praying that he's hurt long term. Actually, not only that. Not come back to the game, but like just not come back at all.
Oh, and I was talking more so about his disappearance because of injury in the third period. you probably just can't really plug Thorburn or Tanith into other lines. So that's probably right. Why Maurice just decided to roll three.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess anyways.
Well, that would make that third goal even worse is Sherratt was caught on the ice in a really long, bad shift too. Like he was sticking out today during the game in really, really bad ways. Like he's just not good. Like
no.
At all.
Are you talking about best defenseman Ben Sherratt?
Hey, he got an assist, so go Sherratt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that first goal was his, yeah. offensively gifted Sherratt.
Yeah.
Hard a shot.
Is it? Is it him?
Peluso won that one year too, didn't he?
I think he won the
year shot competition.
Yeah, and Sherratt won the next year, wasn't it? Or was it vice versa?
Well, that must be why Peluso's on the power play with the Moose.
You know, he's supposed to be gifted in the shootout too, eh? Peluso. I would have much rather seen him instead of Drew Stafford today, for sure. What are you going to do?
Any other comments on the game, the Jets, on any other stuff before we get to Ask the Superfans? We got, I think, a lot of them.
Did we?
I don't know. We got got a lot of notifications. I don't know if we got a lot of Ask the Superfans, I'll tell you.
Let's talk about Paul Maurice. Let's talk about how secure his job is. Like,
was there not just an article that came out? What was it, like the Ottawa Sun or something, that claimed that he was actually on the hot seat?
Yeah, that's Gary Opto. He's not very good, but...
Well, I was going to say, I mean, how many GMs are actually have hired three coaches in how many years? Like six? This is year six? Like,
Oh, so you're saying we don't want to go to our third coach in 6 years?
Yeah, I think it's unrealistic. I mean, I wouldn't really mind seeing it happen, but I don't know if it's a realistic possibility right now.
So is our frustration with Maurice simply that, again, like, do we think that if they hire another coach, they're just going to come in and stick the lineup out there that we want them to stick in?
Well, if the horses are coach. Here, yeah. Yeah, of course they would.
So,
but I don't know. Like a coach is going to impose his will. Like he's going to coach the way that he wants to coach, right?
So, I mean, I don't know. Like, who's sitting out there right now who would fit? Like, who would immediately come in and be better than Paul Maurice right now? See, that might be the problem.
That's the problem.
That is the problem, for sure.
Well, A, that there's no one out there. B, again, is... Like, I'm not saying that Paul Maurice is doing a magnificent job by any means, but is he doing a really bad job? Should he be worried about his job right now? Really?
No.
Mm-mm.
No. But where are we headed with him? Where are we headed with him? I don't know.
500.
Again, Pavlik is gone. Stewart is pretty much marginalized at this point on the roster. You could argue that, you know, Peluso is gone. Thorburn and Stafford are the two problems that we're looking at this point in time, but that's, you know, two out of five guys that are there, and both of those guys are on the last year of contract, so they may opt not to be back next year, and so all of a sudden, like, aren't we really damn close to having the lineup we want? You know, Ehlers is getting a shit ton of playing time in his second year. Liney is maybe not always on the top line, and he's not where we want him on the power play all the time, but he's getting a lot of minutes, right? Like, so things are okay there. So what is our list of gripes in terms of usage of players? I get that there are some, but isn't it a lot better than last year?
And can I ask before? Al? Yeah. Al, can I ask who blew sunshine up your ass today?
I just don't. I just don't see it as a major problem. There were lineups that this team put out last year prior to when the injuries happened, and you look at them and be like, what the fuck? Like five or six guys out there where you're like,
I'm sorry, but Drew Stafford and the amount of minutes he played today, Drew Stafford being on the ice for overtime and Drew Stafford being the fourth shooter, those are what the fuck moments in capital WTFs, man. Like, seriously, what the hell is Drew Stafford doing even close to the ice during overtime? Anybody?
His best?
Negative.
His best.
His best. Like, yes, good answer.
Is James Wright impersonation. He's trying really hard.
Oh, fuck.
How's he doing, by the way?
Who? Yeah,
James Wright? Did he score yet?
I think he's in the KHL.
Did he score, though?
Actually, yeah, he has 16 points right now.
Holy fuck.
Should have kept.
I mean, I'm not a Drew Stafford fan in the very least. So, and again, certainly, why is he in that shootout instead of Ehlers, especially after the game that Ehlers had? Maybe it's because Ehlers had two breakaways in the last, 10 minutes of the game and couldn't score on either of them. So,
or even Bufflin. I mean, if they're going to go with right-handed shots, right? Like, you stroll out the fourth right-handed. Obviously, they have them scouted or have the scouting that says that a right-handed shot would be better, right?
Yep.
But whatever, fuck. Doesn't even matter. We should hire Noel back. He has better pressers, better jokes.
Yeah, and then Liney would get what, 4 minutes a game? And they'd be fighting because that's what he did with his young players.
Well, you got to have your A games, right? So just
feuds with his young players all the time. That's what I don't miss. All
Mike
right.
Keenan. We should hire Mike Keenan. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just being a troll.
All right. So here, well, okay. Here, I'll go to some Asa super fans because, lining up with what we're talking about, we can just keep talking about it if you want. Which will come first? This is from Matt Weeb at at MDUB Winnipeg, EMDUBWPG. Which will come first? Paul Maurice getting fired or the heat death of the universe? I'll throw another one in. Like, why even bother with heat death of the universe? Who lasts longer? Maurice or Chevy?
Well, Chevy. Chevy lasts. Chevy's not going to get fired ever. He's a puppet. He's a puppet.
Chevy is a puppet?
Yeah.
For who?
For Chipper.
Okay.
Are you kidding me? Chipper makes all the decisions.
I thought Bufflin made all the decisions.
No.
He's
only when it comes to whose tracksuit gets wet, that's all.
Well, yeah, but that leads to big trades, right? Like, he forced Chevy to make a trade. I think that the Paul Maurice, like, fire Maurice thing is a little overblown. Maybe, like, certainly, what the hell is the guy doing in certain decisions that are still being made? But again, like, Drew Stafford, as much as we don't like him, Paul Maurice didn't give him a $4 million contract. Paul Maurice didn't sign him for money that could possibly have gone to a Michael Frolik, right?
It doesn't matter, though. Chevy's a prodigal son.
We had Anthony at @Fat_TonyBones ask, when is Garrett Hole going to be on the podcast? When is he?
You should just ask him. Let's ask him. I'll send him a message.
All right.
He was on Joe Blow before.
He said, do I have to be in Winnipeg, is what Garrett Hood said. That's what I asked you. Do I have to go there?
Just tell him yes.
Yes. All right. Scott at Crazy into Peg. How come every time I see Liney play, my bumhole gets sweaty?
I was going to ask the same thing.
Stole my question.
I think it's the dirty blonde stash that gets people heated and bothered, hot and bothered.
Yeah.
And that noise he makes too, like, you know, that's whatever he does with his mouth there in between answers, I think that gets people.
Those shitty little facial expressions too.
His eye roll is pretty impressive too. You know, that eye roll he gave on Hockey Night in Canada was pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, that stash needs some work for sure. But obviously his gameplay is pretty amazing. I know we're looking way ahead here, but do you think that they'll lock him down easily after his third year? Or do you think that there'll be problems?
I sure hope.
I don't think so. Like, what are they going to do? I'm not going to pay him? I mean, if they give him a max deal, like, obviously they're going to pay him.
What do you think it would be? Like, 8 years, $10 million? Average?
Depends on the CBA. Depends on what happens here.
Is he up? He would be up at what? 2018. Or wait. 17, 18, 19. So let's take a 2019.
So let's take a look at this realistically. What did Shifley sign for?
He signed for 6.5. No, 8 at 6.125.
So
yeah.
So if Shifley's worth 8 at 6.125, then you got to think Laine is worth at least 8 at 9. Like, I mean, his first year's not even a third of the way done. Or it is. It's not even halfway done. And, I mean, the kid's going to score 30 for sure.
He better score 30 at this point.
Well, might score 40. He's the most prolific goal scorer that this franchise has ever seen. So what are you gonna pay the guy?
Ilya Kovalchuk might have something to say about that, by the way.
That doesn't count. Who are you talking to? It's the Winnipeg Jets. What are you talking about?
Our leading scorer, Kovalchuk.
Atlanta never existed, guys.
Danny Heatley wasn't that bad either.
Well, I would $10 million a year, maybe.
$10 million, eh?
Well, why not?
I don't think it'll be ten. Well, I hope it won't be ten.
What are Kane and Taves making?
Yeah, but I mean, after 3 years. Is he Kane and Taves at that point?
I don't know. He is to us.
Okay. All right, well.
I don't know.
Get ready.
Well, I saw that he's better than McDavid on Facebook today, so yes, he is to us.
Where did that come from?
I saw that same thing. I know exactly what you're talking about.
How do you guys look at that shit? Like, seriously.
Oh, you're the one that invited me to that thing.
I know. I mean, I can't. You guys are on it every fucking day.
Sometimes I like, feel it's like bashing my head against a brick wall. It's, I don't know.
It's like self-mutilation.
Train wreck. You just can't help but look.
Why don't you just stab yourself in the eye with an ice pick? Like, that fucking shit is totally, like, I can't even bear to look anymore. I looked at it and I made, I can't even do it, man.
Well, now we have tag Harrison on there too. Now,
tag Al. Al, I want to see you go off on this Facebook page.
I'm just gonna fucking delete my Facebook. Just gonna throw my computer out the window too. Like, I don't need to see that. Barely handle Twitter. NHL Jets 2.0 at NHL Jets 2.0 2. The number 2, the word point, and 0. Talk about this, and they've got a posting here. Team records with tonight's refs since 2015. Red Wings, 6-2. Jets, 5-7.
Sorry. There's only one logical explanation. It's the conspiracy.
Yeah. Maybe because Detroit's been a better team for the last how many years?
No. Conspiracy.
Oh. Like, get over the ref thing. Like, we're undisciplined.
And we're small undisciplined. Sample size, anyways.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is the Red Wings, who, you know, barely made the playoffs last year, and, you know, who knows about this year, if they were 6-2 with these refs, then they're shit with some other ref. So are the other are those other refs then biased against the Red Wings?
They're out to get Winnipeg because everybody hates Winnipeg.
It's so frustrating hearing about ref conspiracy theories. It bothers me a lot.
Evander Kane ruined this franchise with the refs forever. So
it's just if the refs, where do I even begin? What reason do they have to be biased against Winnipeg in the first place? Secondly, refs fuck up all the time, as many people do with their jobs. It's not a fucking easy job. It's a hard job. Yeah, sometimes the refs really screw things up, but over the course of an entire season, I can tell you right now, every fan base is pissed off at refs. We're not special. And if there was a really, if you believe that there is a conspiracy against the Winnipeg Jets by the NHL refs, supported by Gary Bettman or whoever, you know, is running the whole league, then don't follow the product. Why would you support a product where they specifically do that to your team? That's crazy. It's not pro wrestling. Don't follow the product.
Yeah, all officiating in every sport is shitty. That's just the bottom line. They all make mistakes. It's fucked. Even tennis.
and college refs too.
Oh, I don't even want to talk. I know what you're referring to.
Yep.
He was short.
What are you talking about?
Michigan. Ohio State's quarterback. It was a very, very questionable call. I don't want to get into that, though. I'll start crying.
Right. Yep.
I will say this. It would make a very interesting Twilight Zone episode, maybe, if, you know, all the people that chat ref you suck or the ones that think it's a conspiracy, if, you know, someone showed up to their work and just chanted that they sucked. I mean, that would be it. Yeah. I'd pay to see that.
I mean, sometimes I suck at my job. I fucked up today. I wish someone was there to be like, you're against your project that you're working on. It's a conspiracy.
15,000 people yelling, Alan, you suck.
That's Twitter. A question that was asked before we recorded this episode, actually. When Gerard Gallant got kicked to the curb, literally. Gerard Gallant, a possible Pomo replacement. I'm assuming no.
Yeah.
No, well, when you said available replacements for Maurice, that's the first guy that came to mind, and that's why I didn't really say, yeah, I said no, there's no replacements for Maurice right now out there. I'd say no.
Chevy the Goon at JoJo Brownie 57 again asked this before we recorded today, or before we put the request out. How many shutouts will Comrie get in the 2019 Cup run? I think he'll get 8 shutouts with the Moose.
82.
What's Haynesworth's record? 23? He's going to get 23. To break the record.
Here we go. Douglas Page at Doug Page CMA. Which bad GM is likely to saddle his team with the Stafford anchor if the Jets ever trade him? Not that Chevy makes trades.
Well, I'm glad that he asked that, because what's going to happen is Chevy is going to contact Jim Benning of the Vancouver Canucks and say, look, Jimmy, we'll give you a 30-goal scorer, a bona fide 30-goal scorer, and all you got to do is send us Chris Tanev. He's not that good. He's just sort of a favorite to Brandon, his brother. He needs an ally in that locker room. So what do you say?
So he's going to send him Scheifele? Because Scheifele is the only 30-goal scorer I can remember on this team recently.
Drew Stafford scored 30 with Buffalo.
1 year, like...
Yeah.
A decade ago?
Best year, yeah.
It'll trick Benning.
Yeah, that's all you need to do.
Well, he wants to he wants to compete now, right? So Montreal needs scoring too, right? So
hey, I remember the Jets weren't in the playoffs before they got Drew Stafford, and then he was traded to the Jets, and look what happened then.
Yeah,
you know what? I'm going to reconsider this trade, you know, and start to pretend to hang up on Benning, and then he'll, no, we'll do it.
They're hard to get. Yeah.
Brian, you asked a question of your own show that you were going to be on.
Oh, I was just I posted that during the show. I was just showing some charts off.
So what did you post? Tell us what you posted.
All right. It was a chart that I found online of prospectstats.com, of Logan Stanley's odds to make the NHL and hit 200 games. They said his projected ceiling is, or not projected, just his ceiling in general is Tyler Myers. But he's not at all likely to reach that. He has a 16% chance of hitting 200 games.
Awesome.
What's
and is valued at a third round pick using last year's stats.
What's Samuel Girard at? Can you look that up?
Yeah, let me check right now.
You guys need to watch the games. all this stats nonsense.
Never.
Stats voodoo and bullshit.
He actually has no comparables, so.
Yeah, see, no comparison.
Yeah, 0% chance. Hashtag bad.
Lovely. I think that wraps up Ask the Superfans, unless I missed one. I don't think I did. So, AIH Superfans is the handle on Twitter. Use the hashtag Ask the Superfans at any point in time, but especially when we say that we're going to be recording this show, and we will read your questions and give stupid answers, as we give stupid everything on this show.
Hey, John, you've got a blog you should plug. Right?
What's that?
You have a blog that you should plug before we.
Oh yeah, you can. Follow me on Twitter. It's jmall95, and there's a link to my blog there. I cover the Jets for Last Word on Hockey. You can find all my horrible opinions there as well.
And so you go to lastwordonhockey.com?
Lastwordonhockey.com, yeah.
All right, perfect. I guess that's it. Go to arcticicehockey.com if you want Sports Blog Nation content on the Winnipeg Jets as well. Again, at AIH Superfans on Twitter is where you can find us there. If you're listening to this show off of a post somewhere, the easiest way to get the show is to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, I think we're there as well. And any podcatcher, any podcast catcher app that you exists, subscribe to the show by searching for AIH Superfans.
Yo.
Yo.
Hey, what up? What up?
You okay?
Yeah. Yo. Subscribe to the show. I don't know. Anyways, on that note, I am Alan, and on Twitter you can find me at Slip with Five Eyes or Slip.
Yeah, this is Riddell, Big Poppy Peg City.
Yo.
I'm Brian from AIH, and you can find me at that same at.
Okay. John, thanks for joining us. We apologize for all the negative commentary that you'll get by being saddled with us dorks, but you're a brave man. Thank you.
You're labeled.
Don't worry, thanks for having me.
No problem.
You're now officially super fan elite, so
you are. Get ready for some subtweets from our biggest fan.
Am I Jets royalty now, or
no?
Just super fan elite.
None of us are Jets
super
royalty.
Fan elite. Okay, yeah. No.
There's only one Jets royalty.
We are all Jets peasants, and with that, I'll bid you a good night. Good night, folks.